What is up, sexy people? It's Dave. It's Duncan.
It's me.
From Metal Epidemic for another album review. And for this review, Duncan and I have been checking out the new album from UK-based collective Sons of Alpha Centauri.
Well, that's what it says on the album cover. What does it say on the album cover, Dave?
SOAC.
SOAC.
So we're going to shorten it to SOAC, are we?
No. Sons of Alpha Centauri, though, is a mouthful. So
I'm just going to call them ground, Sons for the rest of this review.
Sons.
Sons of Anarchy. Ran through this world all alone.
The band's album.
Apart from that third season when they went to Ireland and it was like, diddly diddly do, you're like, what the fuck are we doing here? Yeah.
The band's new album, Pool, will be released on March 28th via Exile on Main Street. So, after delivering one of the most critically acclaimed alternative metal albums of 2021 with Push, Sons of Alpha...
2021, by the way.
Yeah, I know. Fuck Sons me. Of Alpha Centauri, fronted by cult emo icon vocalist Jonah Matranga from post-hardcore legends Far and Gratitude, now prepares to release their fourth studio album, Pool. Pool is a natural evolution to Push, delivering a powerhouse of searing post-hardcore, alternative metal, and progressive hazy rock. The band is also joined again by percussive powerhouse Mitch Wheeler on drums. Mitch, we love you. We love Wellhaven.
Mitch!
Yes! Marlon King on guitars and Nick Hannon on bass, who form a formidable foundation for Matranga's Overlay. Founding member and bass player Nick Hannon comments, "We didn't know if Push was going to be a one-off, but everyone involved loved what we did and thought we could collectively drive the sound even further." So Pool is an even more intense and emotionally direct performance from all of us. When Jonah returned to the studio, he came with an ignited fire of intensity, whereas Push focused on distress, distance, and separation. Pool is more cerebral and dreamlike. We've worked to create songs that everyone can engage with, but with themes that are distant and eclectic. Immerse yourself. The album was recorded by Lance Jackman, who is the touring guitarist for the Deftones, and Joe Johnson in Sacramento. It was then engineered and mixed by Dan Lucas, mastered by Nick Zampiello, who has worked with Cave-In, Converge, Pelican, and Isis, and presented by Exile on Mainstream Records. So, I wasn't sure if like we would ever hear another Sons of Alpha Centauri album. Like, the way they kind of put that last one out, it was like, here's this album, we've done it with guy from Far. And
it did sound like one of those, like, almost like, I'm sure if we didn't mention Deftones, we'll mention Deftones again. It did seem like one of those kind of Deftonesy side projects where, like, here's Team Sleep and you listen, you're like, this is fucking brilliant. They're like, never gonna get another one.
Bye.
Like, here's Pams, you know, same project we did with Isis. What's that, you're wanting another one? Bye. Like there's that kind of feeling of, it seems like an exercise and opportunity as opposed to a musical pursuit. So we've got time, it's during lockdown, we're all together, we've got, you know, as musicians we need to do something, so here's the fruit of our labours of how we spent our time. Well, while you were sitting in your house masturbating and eating Cheetos, we recorded an album.
Baking banana loaf.
I've baked so much banana loaf.
Yeah.
Not only did, like, I learned the ancient art of sourdough with my own starter. I baked so much bread during lockdown. And Sons of Alpha Centauri released an album. An album which I think I was higher on than you.
Actually, all three of us gave it a 4 out of 5, Duncan.
So it was back in the day of the three.
It was back in the 3-0, yeah.
Right. And we all gave it a what?
4 out of 5.
There we go. I remember doing a reaction.
Yes.
And then the album was not long after. I remember really liking it, and a lot of my comments were about how much it reminded me of 90s alternative music.
Yeah. So what did you feel about this new album?
It reminds me a lot of 90s alternative music.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
In a good way, though. In a really, really good way. Now, a smarter man would have went back and checked out that review so he could get all his talking points together so he isn't retreading similar ground. I know I must have mentioned Deftones. A connection to Far is usually a connection to the Deftones in some way, shape, or form. If I didn't mention Smashing Pumpkins, there was probably something wrong there. I'd remember there was a track, was it a Saturn or something from that album that really reminded me. But there was also like guitar tones and like even vocal styles to an extent that were very much in that vein. Once again, I should have listened to Push before I listened to this. But I remember coming at this one thinking, I liked the previous album. Can't remember what grade I gave it, but let's roll the dice again. Let's treat this as if it was basically a brand new release. And track one, Ephemeral, kicked in. And within, like, up to the first chorus, I was like, this is my fucking jam. Like, instantly, just loved it. Production, like, just a really chunky 90s, like, vibe about it. Had this kind of... almost, it was like kind of late grunge, early new metal vibe, and this like fucking chorus, man. Oh man, it's like Ephemeral. I'm like, yes. Don't even know what the word means, but fucking yes. Like straight away, I was in. Like, I'm not gonna lie, you can probably tell from the smile on my face. I dug this quite a bit, right? This plays to nostalgia, plays to sensibility, plays to liking that the Duncan likes. It worked for me. Like it gave me those layers. It gave me that vibe, that tone, and it was fucking great. Like, just right from the off, I was like, this is cool. Now, also remember on the previous album, there was a lot of kind of touching on different things. So I was curious to see how many elements of bands from that era I could pick out, and could we get that? And it turns out I can pick out loads. Loads and loads. This doesn't sacrifice or spare the rod, let's put it that way. This album has plenty of heavy about it, like loads of heavy about it, but it also will mire itself in kind of mood and tone and kind of awkwardness. Ease is a great example of that. The main riff in Ease is a big old fucking down, like just like really kind of snappy thing, but has these pockets of moments where things really like drive out and it's kind of more vocal driven. I absolutely fucking love that. Vocally, this is lush. It's full of tone and full of vulnerability and full of power. And you get that as we move into track three, which might as well just be called We Listen to Stone Temple Pilots. Hope you did too. Pull the title track has fucking like mid-90s Stone Temple Pilots ripping out it.
Oh yeah.
And I fucking love it. Doesn't sound like Scott Whelan, but the guitar riff has that kind of chunky STP about it. It's got a huge like hook, but it's a more somber moment on the album. Once again, just it reminds the 90s are a weird decade, like that's like that. When you think about grunge and you think about like even like just like kind of mid to late 90s metal, it was all about like no one was happy, and I don't know why. but like it fits within that kind of realm. So it's a great song. And on my very first listen, I'd realised that I was kind of not quite halfway through the album, but I was in. I was locked in. The Way We Were is the next track that kicks in. Vocally, it's a bit more laid back, but the guitar's very... it's kind of grungy driven. Kind of grungy, punky driven. It's cool. The tracks... the other thing that's probably worth saying as well, some of these tracks are very much single length and other tracks go a bit longer. And when I say go a bit longer, I don't mean like they run like 10 minutes. they'll go well over the 4.5 minute mark. But what I found very quickly, and I think it's something that Sons of Alpha Centauri are really, really, really good at, is none of the songs on this album feel the length for a second.
Yeah.
Like, even when they go close to 6 minutes, it still kind of feels like, oh, this song's easily a single, right? You know, it just has that kind of that vibe about it. The midpoint of this album is tracks 5, 6, is just, it does my heart so well. Tinnitus Blades is track 5, and it's the kind of Smashing Pumpkins song on here. I know you don't like Smashing Pumpkins, but it's the one that kind of feels like we're getting in touch with our melancholia and the infinite sadness. Cleaner sounding guitars, a lot more use of space. But then the band is just like, do you want a song that you're just going to play in your headphones every single night when the sun's just setting and you want a wee whiskey? Doomed. Oh, doomed. Doomed. What are you doing to me? Doomed is like, if Weezer were unhappy, you know what I mean? There's a Weezer thing about it. It's in the vocals more than anything. He kind of sounds like Rivers Cuomo if Rivers Cuomo was having a bad day. I fucking love this. To me, it might be the highlight of the album. And it's the one that's most kind of stripped back to its bare bones. And you might start to think, well, the album's at the midway mark and we're already starting to peter out, so that doesn't stand us in good stead for the, you know, the closing 3 songs. We can Pulse starts to pick things back up, it's the one that's most kind of reminds me, really, once again, just reminding me of 90s bands, and I told you we got a lot of them, reminds me a little bit of Undertow by Tool. It has a kind of like kind of Tooly grungy sound about it, which is really smart. And then you switch into Final Voyage. Final Voyage is the longest song on here, and it's one that maybe does quite a bit with the songwriting and composition. It doesn't take any great effort to move itself along quickly, but I actually like the movements in the song. It builds up satisfactory, it closes very strong as well. And then Unspeakable Majesty is the closing song. They don't go soft again, but this one goes slow. So it is very much in a kind of slower groove. The interesting thing about this song, more than all the other ones, is actually how the album finishes as a kind of overall. This finishes with a fade. You know, it's finished its bit. There's no airs, no graces. It just kind of, it's got like a 10-second fade. And then leads you. As a follow-up to Push, I don't know quite what I expected, but I know what I hoped. And Pull actually delivered a lot of what I hoped. Sounded like a band that continued their love and interest of a particular time period and what they bring to that. I think they built on it. I think songwriting, this is just as strong, if not stronger. The high moments on this album and the hooks and the choruses are huge. Like I mentioned before, Ephemeral, it's there, like fucking, or We Are Doomed. Like, I just, like, those things get locked in for me after the first listen. And about 2 or 3 listens after that, I realised that I wanted to rake out my, like, baggy flannels and my cutoffs and just, like, kind of hang around, like, just being moody and gloomy. And there's a time and place for that. I get nostalgic for that era of music in a way which is probably not in any way, shape or form healthy. But it goes to show that they have a love for that. This is not we're releasing something that cynically is going to appeal to that. It's embedded in their songwriting DNA.
Yeah.
It's very well constructed. It's very well recorded. I love the production on this one. It's bright and vibrant, and it has tonality, and it has its depth more than anything else. It's also under 40 minutes long. Hello, colour. I love that about it. And it's a gloomy and moody piece. That just sits really well with me. It was the thing that, of the albums we listened to, this one, so when I revisited the most. And it's the one I've been playing a lot at night time. I genuinely am having a ball with this. I'm glad they've come back to do what they're doing. The pedigree musicians that are involved with the project is of high caliber anyway, but the fact that they can pull another one of these out of their hat kind of makes me, especially when, and whilst you were doing the introduction, I jumped to check the previous album. I'd forgotten it was called Push. Push Pull, love it. Album artwork, love it. Placement of the logo, love it. It's synchronicity, it's tickling all the right spots for me. And I kind of want this, selfishly want this project to continue on. I kind of want more. Yeah. You know what I mean? I want more. Push, pull, I don't know what we do next. Stand, sit. I'd like I want more concepts that are linked. I'm curious to go, because I've not done it yet. You probably have. I'm curious to go pull, so push into pull, and feel how well that connects.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, there's nothing I dislike about this at all. It plays very much to its strengths, and its strengths are a genre and an era of music that I love. So, don't know what else I can say about that, Dave. You were never a grunge kid, though, so I can imagine that once again you're coming in with your... But where's the blast beats, Duncan? Where's the gravity blasts?
Where are they, Duncan?
Where's the polyrhythms, Duncan?
I could count to four right through this album, Duncan. All right.
No higher than four, because four is the highest number I know. I just, like, right, so I had it in my head that I liked the previous one more than you, which meant that I felt that coming out of this one, I would probably like this one more than you. But you're telling me that we scored it the same.
Pretty sure we did, yeah.
So if we scored it the same, I'm interested to see if that vibe is continued through, or if there's some drop off here, Dave. So the floor, as they say, is yours.
Thank you. The last album was the first Sun's album to include vocals.
Yes.
So it was like a bit of a shift from what they'd done previously, which was all instrumental, also a little different musically. Prior to Push in 2021, I couldn't really tell what type of band they wanted to be. Then on Push, I was like, okay, this has more direction. I can hear what lane they're pulling towards.
What's it doing?
And then on this new album, Pull, they've continued on the same path stylistically, but almost like doubled down on their sound. I didn't think it was possible for them to become even more 90s than they were on Push. But that statement is out the window.
You got wrong, Dave.
It's gone. because this album is even more steeped in that 90s character. As soon as Ephemeral kicked in, I was like,
"Oh, it's not ephemeral. It's ephemeral."
I'll let you do that, but I was like, "Okay, we're getting a different opening track, a different type of opening track to Push, which was Get the Guns on the previous album."
Which was the oddity on that album?
Yeah, it was the one track. I remember you and Kyle were like, "Nah, didn't like that. Didn't like that opening track."
It was so different from everything. Like, you just, like, you jogged a memory there. Because it was kind of almost, I had a bit of Nine Inch Nails about it.
It was quite a repetitive track. Kept saying the same thing over. And it had a more kind of woozy kind of build up to it. Whereas Ephemeral was like straight in, no fades, no build ups, just like right in the track, and you're chugging guitar, and then that big melodic chorus.
Huge
which
chorus.
Is hooky as fuck.
Fuck.
And I'm the same. I've been singing that all fucking week.
It's like, better than what we were singing last week when I was going like 1-800 eat shit or call shit or whatever it was. Like, this week I can go around singing Ephemeral because, one, I don't know what the word means. Two, my 9-year-old doesn't know what it means. And three, my 2-year-old doesn't know what it means. Yes.
But it's awesome. It's got some really, like, it's great groove on it. It's got some really well-placed synths on there. The echoey guitars. Sure, there's a Deftones influence. It's there. Get over it. It's on the album. I liked the opener on the previous album. I liked Get the Guns, but... this one,
you're violent, Dave.
Yeah, That is true. This one, the hooks are going even deeper. And I think, like, when I heard that, I was like, okay, this is an early indication in the album that the songwriting on this one already feels stronger than before. And I think maybe that time as a band, writing that album and then in between that album and this album, with, you know, the lineup of Jonah now in the band, and they're now getting to know each other's style and influences, and I think that's really been key in between the last album and this one, where you can hear they've really, like, dialed in on certain elements that they had on the last album, but made them even more kind of potent on this release. And I said that, as I said, the dreamy kind of 90s post-hardcore alternative sounds, they are all kind of ramped up on this.
Yeah.
And I think because of that, it maybe doesn't feel quite as heavy an album as Push. When I went back and listened to Push and I listened to this one still has heavy moments, but those heavier tracks feel a bit more kind of smoothed around the edges. The title track, Pool, for example, is probably one of the more groovier kind of guitar-driven riffs on the album, but I don't think it ever gets quite as, like, metallic as some of the tracks on Push. Mm-hmm. Like the track called The Enemy on that last album, which had that, like, adrenaline era kind of Deftones kind of tone to it at times. But that, like, slightly more dreamlike quality that the band mentioned actually makes this album a bit more, it feels a bit more interlinked to me. Tracks like Pool going into The Ways We Were, I think, like, tracks like that are perfectly matched together. You can feel like there's a connective tissue stylistically and also texturally that keeps the kind of flow moving on this album. Pool is a bit grungier, with The Ways We Were dipping into a bit more of the indie side of things, where I was getting a bit of a kind of Placebo kind of vibe coming out on that track. But the styles, like, even though they're maybe marginally different, they work really well together. And then I totally agree with you, dropping in Tetanus Blades and Doomed in the middle was just super smart move. When I went back to, when I listened to Push, I noticed that although the album, like, it has, like, melodic and softer moments, there were no real, like, stripped back moments on that album. The album stayed above a certain intensity level. This time we get two tracks that are much more emotional and showing a much more kind of vulnerable side of the band's sound, both musically and vocally. And that, for me, was kind of flexing a bit more of the kind of dynamics and a bit more of the light and shade on the album, which I really liked. Tetanus Blades weirdly still reminded me of Deftones, even when they're trying not to sound like Deftones.
The synth sound is a synth Deftones sound.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, it really is. Like, if you go back and listen to, like, almost anything from White Pony, it's that synth sound that's in the background, so it's very difficult to untangle it.
It reminded me, there's a track at the end of Adrenaline, I think it's called Fist. It's got a kind of similar vibe where it goes like clean verses into the kind of heavier choruses. There's also something a wee bit of kind of White Pony as well. Like, there's a kind of, like, scratchy kind of record player sound they use. It sounded familiar as well. I think it might be on
White
Pony.
Has almost an Andrew WK piano as well.
Yeah.
Ding, 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 ding. Like, yeah. like Queens of the Stone Age, Go With the Flow. Ding, 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 ding. Like, it's, but it's only used in that one section, weirdly.
Yeah. Jonah as well, like, he's obviously a big part of the Sun's sound now, being on the last album and this one. And he sounds great on this release. His melodies were always very recognisable, even like back in the Far days. But he brings so much character to this band's sound. And the hooks are great on this once again. I actually loved hearing him push his voice into something a little bit more intense as well. Yeah. There's a track called Final Voyage where he really starts to kind of push it and give it a bit more fire on that track, and his voice has got a really cool, like, kind of breaking point that just, you know, adds a little bit more character, a little bit more punch to that track. And in the closing song, Unspeakable Majesty, very much like the opening track. It's one that kind of sticks in your head afterwards as well. But it's got like a post-hardcore meets like kind of doom kind of chord choice on that one, where it's quite gloomy, but there's like a bite to it as well, which was pretty cool. It's quite a nice mixture on that last track. I think these guys are only getting more and more comfortable in their skin as a band. They sound like they've dug a little deeper on their sound on this one, and emphasize certain elements to give them, you know, a bit more individuality on this one. I think as an album, this definitely gives you more dynamics, and there's a bit more emotion than Push. But I thought it was actually a more appealing journey on this one as well. Not a huge amount of criticism, to be honest. I think there was maybe one song that didn't quite grab me as much as the rest. So all in all, a very strong return from Sons of Alpha Centauri, or Sons, or Soak, whatever you want to call them.
Soak.
So, final thing. What would you be scoring, Pool?
Why did you speak like a pirate there? What would you be scoring? Like one of our international Speak Like a Pirate Day, September Day, if everyone knows that. So if I gave it 4.
Yeah.
For the previous album, it's a 4.5. Nice. This to me is a better album. I'm digging it. I also think that they are... I'm much in here before I'm like that. Give them the fives, and the explosions happen on the screen here. I would like to hear more. I think they're just finding their groove. What I want to hear is the groove, which is now more comfortable for them. So they're flexing into it. I just need them to just kind of settle down. And then that's when I think the magic's happening. Yeah, very, very, very little on this. This is another one where, like, in those quiet moments where I just need something just as a mood piece, that this will be getting pulled and listened to.
Nice.
There you go.
Score wise,
I don't know. Is that,
what?
Don't be a dick.
I don't know.
Is it better than the previous one?
I don't know, actually. I can't tell. I like them both for different
reasons.
I kind of like them both for different reasons. Like, when I re-listened to Push, and I was like, oh, fuck, hell yes. Like, it's got so many cool riffs on it.
I've not listened to it in a while.
So many good riffs, and it is a bit more metallic in its sound. And in this one, you know, they're getting a little bit more kind of hazy, a bit more dreamlike on this one. So they're two albums that I'd listen to at different times. Yeah. I don't know if one is better than the other, if I'm honest. I'm going to go with 4 because I feel like they're both just as good as each other.
I feel that's the wrong choice, but
maybe. But
ifs and buts were coconuts and nuts.
What the fuck?
What are we doing here?
I have no idea. So that's our review of the new album from Sons of Alpha Centauri. It's called Pool. It's out on March 28th on Exile and Mainstream. Links below. Check it out, have a listen, see what you make of it. That is the review. Thank you for checking it out. We'll be back with another review very soon, but until then, take care. Speak to you soon.
Ephemeral!